What is the Christian response to this? It is quietness. What is quietness? Quietness. Our friend Noah Webster says that quietness is still being in a state of rest, not moving. That's not quite what I think I'm talking about. That's the sense of it. He also says it's still being free from alarm or disturbance, unmolested, as in a quiet life. As God tells us in 1 Thessalonians that you aspire to lead a quiet life. Just getting a bit closer. His third definition is peaceable, not turbulent, not giving offense, not exciting controversy, disorder or trouble, mild, meek, contented. Now we're talking. We're getting a little closer to it. Or lastly, calm, agitated by wind, not agitated by wind, as a quiet sea or atmosphere. Like when our Lord said, peace, be still, to the storms. And there was great calm. Our God has much to say about quietness. Because we see first and foremost that our God, believe it or not, is quiet. He says in Isaiah 32:17, the work of righteousness is peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. God says, I will be quiet and be angry no more. And he told Isaiah, and he talked to Isaiah in a still, quiet voice. One of Job's greatest complaints was the lack of quietness in his heart and mind. He said, I am not at ease, nor I am quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. Our good friend Nathan Clark George has a great song on that, and he translates it this way. Quiet turmoil comes. That is often the state of our hearts. Quiet turmoil. There's an entire book written on quietness. It's called A Mute Christian Under the Rod by Thomas Brooks. And he bases the entire book on one verse, which our pastor quotes often. I was mute and I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me, for I am consumed by the blow of your hand. I was mute. I was silent. I was quiet. Thomas Brooks spends quite some time telling us what quiet is and what quiet is not. He starts with saying what is quiet is not. Quiet is not a dispassionate, stoical silence. The Stoics prided themselves on not being bothered by anything. And God says, no, I hate that. He says in Romans 1:31, that the wicked are unloving and unmerciful and unfeeling. Now, God doesn't like that. We don't seek to be comfortably numb. That's not quiet. And it's not a calculated silence either. An attempt to procure for ourselves some measure of personal peace. Though at times that may be wise. It's not a fool's silence in the sense that a fool is wiser if he keeps his mouth shut, which is very much true. But that's not the silence, that's not the quiet we're talking about. It's not a sullen silence, like we're bummed and we're just going to just be quiet, like Ahab when he threw himself on his bed and was sullen, wouldn't eat, wouldn't talk to anybody, when Naboth refused to sell him his vineyard. It's not a forced silence, like when one is quiet before his enemy because he knows if he doesn't keep his mouth shut, things are going to go worse. No, it's not that kind of quiet either. And it's not a despairing silence as one that has fear on every side. And it's not a silence that's devoid of all tension and anxiety either. No. What being quiet is it's a holy silence. It's separate. It's distinct from other silences. They devise deceitful matters against the quiet ones of the land, it says in Psalm 35. God's people are called the quiet ones. And David says he quiets his heart. He says, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child. Now it's separate. It's distinct. It's God-centered. It's a prudent silence. It's careful. And it wants to regard the propriety of a situation and be quiet according to the situation. Like Joseph, who when he thought Mary was being improper, and he had good reason to think so, said he had a mind to put her away quietly and not shame her. He was prudent. In fact, it says that the prudent keeps silent at an evil time in Amos 5:13. There's a time to keep silent. And Ecclesiastes says that the words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard rather than a shout from the ruler of fools. And often the shout is from our own hearts. The disquiet comes from within. Our emotions shout at us like a foolish ruler. But we should heed the words of the wise spoken quietly, rather than the shout of the ruler of fools. Thirdly, God's quiet is a gracious quiet. It is quiet that remembers that He is the most sovereign King under whose hand we are. God's promises always lead back to this. They lead back to quiet, stillness, peace. As David promised and proclaimed in Psalm 23, He leads me beside still waters. Quiet. When the children of Simeon sought a place for themselves in the promised land, God says they saw a good place because they found it to be good pasture. It was broad. It was quiet. It was peaceful. God's promises lead back to peacefulness. God's quiet is restful. It is refreshing. It is a quiet that refreshes one. Our Lord, when He was taking care of His disciples, one time He found them tired. And He said, let's go off to a quiet, deserted place. Let's rest a while. You need quiet for some time. That's the quiet that God speaks of. Fifthly, God's quiet is peaceful. Excuse me, it is real and it is practical. Solomon was given the name Peace because he was a type of Christ. It was said of him that God will give him peace and quietness in Israel all his days because he was the son of David. And he was a symbol of the quiet one that was to come. The promises of God are spoken of in Scripture many times about the quietness of the land when they obeyed God. Like after the days of Gideon. It says Midian was subdued and the country was quiet. The realm of Jehoshaphat, because he was obedient to God, was quiet. But God gave him rest all around. God's quiet is practical. God's quiet is perpetual. And it will never end. He says in promises in Isaiah that the whole earth will be at rest and at quiet. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day when the whole earth is quiet and at rest. It certainly isn't these days. The promise to Jacob is, Jacob shall return and have rest and quiet, and no one shall make him. God's quiet is loving and gentle. Zephaniah 3 says, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness and he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. May we be quieted by his love. So I exhort you this morning to practice his quiet, to engage his quiet, to actively pursue his quiet, to seek His quiet. And He will give rest for your souls. Let us pray. Let us now come before our God and confess our sins quietly before Him, silently. Father, we bring our sins before You. For our transgressions are ever before us. We rebel. We seek our own. We seek our own kingdom. Why, we don't always know. But we bring our sins before You, Father. And we lay them at Your feet. We lay them at the cross. For You have forgiven us our sins. And if we confess our sins, You remind us that they are forgiven. So we approach You clean in the blood of the Lamb. Thank You that You hear our prayers, that You hear our confession, that You proclaim to us pardon. That is the only reason we can approach You here this morning, is because You accept us in the Beloved, and You do not hold our sins against us. But You tell us still to confess them, to be rid of them, to be aware of them as they come to mind, and to confess them before You so that we can be reminded that we are forgiven. Oh Lord, You are merciful, You are gentle, and You are kind. And it is in Christ's name we come.